I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. It is again that God has blessed us to come together and worship Him. Amen. We thank God for everything that has been said and everything that has been demonstrated. To the visitor, God bless you. You could have went anywhere. Thank you for coming by faith. Amen. We're the little church that hid behind the tree. One day, the tree is going to grow. Somebody say here something. Amen. And I just thank God for again everything that has been said. I like the song selection. Amen. I love the song selection, especially the one that talks about your name being scandalized. Amen. Some of us, John, can understand that. Amen. People will false accuse you. But I'm so glad that they can say, you know, Pastor started running after the moon and running rabbits and acting like a duck. Amen. If y'all come to faith, and every time y'all see me, I'm consistent. Praising the Lord. Preaching His Word. Teaching His Word. About the life I live. It's going to speak for me. If I got a witness. I just thank God for the Spirit that's in this place. And Father, the fire's hot. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to read the Word. As a family. There is a word from the Lord, and on this Memorial Day weekend, amen, today a lot of us look forward to having family reunions, going to the beach, and just having a hollow time, and we forget about what we're supposed to be remembering.
All right, Pastor. That's right, Pastor.
Some of us at the beach right now ain't even thought about nobody who gave their life in the army.
Amen.
If I got a witness.
Amen.
We ain't even thought about those who have died so that we might be free.
Amen.
But there is a word from the Lord. We're going to talk about remembering today.
Amen.
Our verse of focus has been read, but we're going to read it as a family. If you have the King James rendering, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in my Bible, it has a star by it. I didn't even have to mark it. So evidently, somebody other than me thought it was important that they put a star beside that verse number 25. If you have the King James rendering, we're going to ask that you read again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 25. 1, 2, 3, read. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Somebody say, in remembrance of me.
In remembrance of me.
Our God and our Father, it's preaching time, and we stand there before these few preachable moments. We can't do nothing, Father, unless you come. We already sense your presence. Thank you for showing up. Now, Father, further express yourself through this preached word. I pray, God, that this man's humanity nor his deficiency would hinder your word from going forth with the fluidity and the power and potency that your word warrants. Bless now your people. Make their hearts receptive of this word, Father, that we might not only hear it, but heed it, and respond positively to it. For it's in the name of Jesus, he who died, but now is risen, we pray, say with me, amen.
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 Amen. As you take your seats, amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. In this particular scripture, the church at Corinth, Paul writes now, had gotten out of hand, and they were going through the motions mindlessly and misinformed. So really, their worship was wrong. Did you know that your worship could be wrong? You know, it's never right to do the wrong thing, even when you think it's right. Have I got a witness today? As I said before, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I wanted to put you in the frame of mind of this particular pericope of Scripture, and also the weekend in which we celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
What I want you to know is that Memorial Day is a solemn day. That's what it was supposed to be. It's a solemn day of remembrance for all those who have died. Somebody say died.
Died
serving in the American Armed Forces. We just stop right there and take that in. Somebody say Selah. We need to just think about Memorial Day. It's a day that some of us ain't got to work, but it's also a day in which we look back. Somebody say look back. Sometimes we need to look back so that we can see where we're going. And you know, a lot of times we don't like to look back because looking back, it takes us back. For some of us, we don't want to go back because some of us want to forget some things in the past. Come on now. I don't know about you, but there's some things that I would rather forget. Some decisions I made, some places that I went, some things that I did, I wish I could forget. And I'm not the only one that did. But every now and then, I need to look back so that I can see where God brought me from. I don't know what kind of church I got to be different of us, but I'm talking about bread now. This was the year when Congress passed the Uniform Holiday Act, designating Memorial Day as the last Monday in May, rather than May 30th, as it had previously been observed. So, what it officially and unofficially did was mark the beginning of summer. Yeah, that's what it is. Because during Memorial Day, you can say the summer is here, and everybody normally has one or two things on their mind. They want to go to the what?
Beach.
Isn't it funny how we can take something good and twist it and make it benefit us? Ah, see how you got quiet right there. We can take something originally meant to honor somebody and put our own self on the pedestal. Now it's all about me getting off, getting together with my family and friends that I ain't never seen. I ain't thought about nobody who done died.
That's right, Pastor.
For me. Well, I'm going to let you know, and God sent me by to let you know that's all right for Memorial Day, but you better not do it for the Lord's Day. Hey, we know God ain't going to be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. You might forget why you're honoring Memorial Day, but you better do this in remembrance of me. And he's saying right here, don't you take this if you ain't thinking about me. What you must need to know is the Corinthians now was worshiping the wrong way. And what Paul did in this letter to Corinthians, he was really doing a liturgical corrective measure. He was correcting them for their error of worship. And I said before, it is always good to look back so that we can see where we're going. The only thing is that when we look back, we can't focus. It's always got to be a glance. and to commemorate. So first of all, what you must needs know is that he did this thing called the Lord's Supper. Now, first of all, there's only two ordinances in the Baptist Church. That of baptism and the Lord's Supper. In other words, these are things that God is commanding or ordering us to do. Somebody say baptism.
Baptism
is an ordinance because Jesus owned himself and was baptized. The Bible says that he came to John. We know him as John the Baptist, but he came to him and said to baptize. And John said, I feel like I need to be baptized by you, and you want me to baptize you? And Jesus said, suffering to be so. In other words, what he's saying is, these things must come to fruition to bring into pass what was said of old. So if Jesus humbled himself and was baptized, we got to do it too. Which is why I say, you got to be baptized. And let me say right here, time out for letting children decide grown-up stuff. Then the child decides when they want to go up. You know what? We ought to get back to that old-time way. I can remember, I'm going to talk to a few folks over 50. You can't praise God and shout on this one unless you're over 50. There used to be a thing called the bonus beat. Make some
when we come to the Lord's table, we come, it says, if you read on down in that chapter, it says, every man, means woman too, ought to examine themselves. My first point is this, the reason we take the Lord's Supper is out of commemoration. Somebody say commemoration. Commemoration is when we remember somebody or something, what they have done, what they have lived, what they have said, and we honor them. The Bible is very clear that one time, I believe, after they had crossed the Jordan, they heaped up some stones. Somebody say 12 stones. 12 stones for the 12 tribes. After he had parted the water so that they could cross on dry land, they got these stones together for one reason, and the Bible says, as at a memorial. So that when someone said, why all them stones heaped up together? Somebody would say, well, that's when the Lord God delivered us across the Jordan into the land of promise. Somebody said, we need to look back every now and then because we are a forgetful people. Y'all ain't gonna say anything. You gotta quiet right there. I said, we are a forgetful people. Have you ever done something for somebody and they look like they forgot it?
Amen.
They probably did. So what God will do is every now and then he will refresh our memory. If you're going to go down through the Bible, the page of the scripture, it is God himself who is reminding the people, I'm the one that delivered you out of Egypt. He said all throughout scripture, with a mighty hand did I deliver you. Why? Because they had forgotten where they came from. Some of us forgot where we came from. We didn't always have padded pews. And even though we didn't have padded pews, folks still found a way to sleep. We didn't always have carpet on the floor. Tries to let them know. know that it is a time of commemoration. Mm-hmm. We need to commemorate what the Lord has done. Before we take this, now I see a lot of people, they refuse it because they done did something in their life. That's ignorance. The only time you need to skip this table is when you don't remember, you don't believe that God, through Christ, died for you. That's all I'm trying to get. My whole little sermon is trying to get you to remember what the Lord has done for you. You were supposed to be the one that they beat all night long. You were supposed to be the one. Do you know that they kicked my Lord? Do you know that they spit? Lord, have mercy. One of the cruelest things and disrespectful things you can do is spit on somebody. They spit in his face. And the Bible said, he never said a motherly word. I want to stop right there. Can you do that? We need to pray for those who can. And if the truth be known, all of us will be praying for one another. Spit on me, you go what? They spit on it, and he had a beard. The Bible says that they slapped, not only did they slap him in the face, but they pulled the hair out of his face. Somebody say, just for me. They went from kangaroo court to kangaroo court all night long while the people were asleep because they knew that some people weren't stood for it. So they did that dirt in the dark. The Bible says that he was whipped. Somebody say whipped. Yes. He was whipped with a whip of cattail. Now that whip had glass and metal. I don't know if it was glass, metal, but I know it had ivory teeth. So that every time he was lashed and the whip was pulled, it pulled flesh from his bones. Somebody say 39 stripes. And he never said a mumbling word. That was supposed to be me and you, y'all. And he did that just for us. The Bible says that under the weight of the cross, because back then you had to carry your own cross. And notice that they did their dirty work. They weren't doing it inside the city limits. He had to go outside the city limits. So you had to carry your own cross. The Bible says that after being beaten like that, after being whipped like that, that he gave way under the stress and pressure, and here comes Simon. Somebody say, right on time. Just about the time he was about to give way, said that somebody else came and bear his cross for him, led him all the way up to God, that was healed.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Led him all the way up to God, that was healed. Then they put the cross together. And the Bible says that they nailed his hands. Somebody say, just for me. They nailed his feet. Somebody say, just for me. And then they did something that they didn't even know what they were doing. They had to lift him up, y'all. They had to lift him up to drop him down in the hole. What they didn't know is they were playing right to the Lord's head, because he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll make this. Don't come. Somebody say commemoration. Then we do it secondly for celebration. celebration.
Yes.
Somebody say celebrate.
Celebrate.
And I don't know about y'all, but we know how to celebrate.
Yes.
If I got a witness.
Yes.
Somebody say, fly over here.
Yes.
We know how to celebrate.
Yes.
We know how to celebrate. Some of us celebrate birthdays.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, we look at birthdays wrong. Because for some of us, a birthday is a time that I don't go to work. That's my day.
All right.
I got a witness. I ain't going to work on my birthday. You done lost a whole point. If you're going to celebrate a birthday, your mind ought to be on the goodness of the Lord that I'm here one more year. See, it ain't nothing wrong to celebrate, but you can celebrate the celebration of a fool. Why do you want to just want to have a good time? No, I'm partying and I'm celebrating because I could have been dead and gone, sleeping in my grave. So when I celebrate my birthday, I'm saying thank you, Jesus, for one more year. Somebody celebrated an anniversary. You know, we got different kinds of anniversaries. We got anniversaries at work, and you know, the most common is celebrating that anniversary of marriage. Yeah. Nothing wrong with celebrating that anniversary of a marriage. But just like every time we celebrate this table, we need to examine ourselves. Don't take my word for it. That same verse, if you read on down, he said, every man out there, look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup, only after you have examined yourself. That means you need to look at the kind of life you're living. I said, look at your life that you're living. Will your life speak for you? Lord have mercy. Or when you die, will it be a sad day for everybody? Somebody say, your life ought to speak for you. It ought to speak for you. You ought to have a life like Brother Kirk. I say, come and to that whole celebration. Make me want to live better. It made me want to live better. It made me want to do better. It made me want to touch somebody's life. It made me stop thinking about bread and start thinking about somebody else. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school about giving to those who beg. He was standing on the side with a sign. For some of us, he said, if he can stand in this hot sun, he can work. I'll tell you that part right there. If they stand in that hot sun, hold the sign, they can flip some birds. You don't know what they can do. They're just trying to make some money. Let me tell you, if you said something straight so you can hear it from Greg, I showed my wife that scripture that said that we're supposed to give to everybody who begs. The Bible says, give to every man who asks. So what you need to do is keep a beggar's curse in your pocket. That's your spare change. That's your proverbial dollar that you give that you don't ever miss. And you need to give to that beggar. Stop trying to judge whether that person is genuine or not. That's not your business. You're judging. The Bible says the same measure that you measure is going to be measured back unto you. So why are you trying to figure out whether or not they're genuine? Just reach in your pocket. Let me back up. Now, if you start out today, get some dollars and some change that you don't use, that you don't want, and get it for people who beg. Because the Bible says, give to every man that asks you. It doesn't say that you try to figure out how they're going to use it. It doesn't say to figure out whether they need it. It told you to give it.
Amen.
Whether they're genuine or not, that's God's decision.
That's right.
Not yours.
Amen.
And if they abuse it, God says, don't be mocked. I am, you know, I'm not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he going to reap the same thing.
Amen.
So if he or she is fraudulent, God will deal with it.
Amen.
But you're supposed to give it to him. Give that dollar, give that change. That one that you're going to put in the church, you'll never miss. Lord have mercy. Somebody say a beggar's curse.
A beggar's curse.
Now look, don't think that I'm just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. I'm preaching to me too. Because, you know, I have a heart problem for people who won't work. Because for a solid 3 years, I tempt
when I couldn't drive. Call a bus. For 3 solid years, and I was only late 2 times. And I did everything from sitting behind a desk, answering phones, being a secretary, to sitting on the back hole, digging a ditch 12 feet deep. So I got too much for people who won't work. But I'm going to let God, because my eyes have been open.
That's right.
I'm going to let God deal with them.
Amen.
And I'm going to begin to give to every man who asks.
Amen.
Somebody say celebration.
Celebration.
So before you come to the table, to this table, examine yourself. Before you participate, now in the Word of God, I just want to read you this before I let you go. Christ, before his death, said in John, chapter 6. I want you to write it down, go back and look at it for yourself. John chapter 6, verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh, this is Jesus talking, it's in red. Eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. After this saying, if you go and read further in that chapter, it says that a lot of the people who was following him stopped following him. Because it sounded like Jesus wanted the people to become cannibals. Because he said, you're going to eat my flesh. What you must need to know is that this is symbolic talking. Somebody say symbolic. Symbolism, you got to understand, symbolism is not to be taken literally. When he says, you're going to eat, somebody say eat. What he's saying is, you're going to receive. Somebody say receive. But when we eat, we're receiving something, all right? I'm going to teach you a thing. He says, receive of my body. Jesus' body was beaten. So he's saying, you're going to have to receive suffering. So if you're suffering bodily, stop complaining. If, oh Lord, have mercy. If you are suffering, you got a ache, you got a pain, stop suffering. God knows about it. There can be no sacrifice without suffering.
Amen.
If Jesus suffered for us, we got to suffer for him. Partake of my body, you got to partake of suffering in this life.
Amen.
Drink the blood, Lord have mercy. He was not literally talking about drinking blood and you becoming a vampire. Somebody say symbolism. Drinking my blood is receive the atonement. Receive the atonement of your sins. So, when we eat this bread, you notice this bread has been broken. And the reason the bread has been broken is because more than one people is going to take it. Oh, y'all just missed that. The bread could not become serviceable until it's broken. You can't become serviceable unto God until you have been broken. The trouble is, nobody wants to be broken. And sometimes you, when God breaks you, instead of you rejoicing in your brokenness, because it's in the brokenness that multiplicity can get explained and multiplied, and you become more than you can ever be. We sit there and complain about, oh, I'm broken. And we have a pity party. Come on, somebody. But God breaks us to make us serviceable. That bread, when you're taking, remember that it's God, the Lord's body that was broken for us. And when we drink that blood, Lord have mercy, we got to remember that it's the atonement that we need to be focusing on. It's the blood of Jesus that makes a wretch like me whiter than snow. It's like a brown cow. Eating green grass. But given white gift. It's not that you're getting on the You get it at the church. Yeah. And that's what he means about partaking of the blood. And the last thing I want to let you know, that every time that we come to the table, we have to examine the Judas in all of us. There's a Judith in all of us. I heard Samuel said it like this. When Sam grows up, what he was saying is, there's a part of us that's ugly. Y'all can be quiet right here. I don't care how Christian you are.
Amen.
I don't care how saved you are and how holy you are. There's some evil in us. You know, we got an altar ego. Come on, somebody. And when you lay your religion down, when you stop speaking English, come on, somebody. Don't act like you don't ever get like that. I thought one time I was going to be on Facebook, Charlie. Girl stood in front of me, almost hit my truck, and Jeffrey came out. Not great. Not a good preacher boy. Jeffrey came out. Y'all would like to. Jeffrey don't care about nobody but Jeffrey. He don't care who you are, where you come from, how big you are, what color you are. Doesn't matter. When Jeffrey come out, there was a song that said, who let the dogs out? Let the dogs get all of us. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to be real. Every time we approach this table, we got to examine the alter ego in us and say, is it in check? And if it's not in check, we have to ask forgiveness immediately. God, forgive me for what I said. Forgive me for what I thought. Because actions are false until we do them. Am I right about that? Give God a hand clap for praise. Somebody say, do this in remembrance of me. I hope you look at the Lord's Supper. I didn't really, let us say, get into the ecclesiastical end of it. I wanted to focus on the thought that Jesus said, remember me. When we take this Lord's table, we're doing two things. First of all, what we're doing is we're marking the time. Every time we take this table, we're marking the time from now until when he comes. I don't even know if you know that. Because we're supposed to be living as though he can come back at any second.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. We're marking the time. Every time we take the Lord's table, that verse says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show. And we do it, secondly, as a public proclamation of who we are. We take the Lord's table because we are God's children. We take the Lord's table because we are followers of Christ. We're marking two things. We're saying to the public that something on the inside in private has happened to me. Lord have mercy. Just like baptism. Baptism, you got to be baptized in the Spirit before you can be baptized in the water. That's why some people go down a dry devil. And they come up a wet devil. Because they was baptized in water, but not baptized in the Spirit. I got to stop. You got to be baptized in the Spirit. Notice the people are baptized, how they look dead. A lot of closed eyes. A lot of cold their nose. And they get stiff. And they go under, it's signifying death. I'm dying to self. That's what baptism is saying. Publicly, I am dying to grief. I'm dying to my folks, my desires, my folks, my dreams. That's what it's saying. When I come up, see, I'm in the tomb now when I'm under the water. That's why baptism totally immersed in water. We don't sprinkle. So I like to sprinkle, you can't be immersed. We go totally under. I tell them sometimes back there before they are baptized, they go all the way under the water. And you know what? When I'm putting them down, you know, I told them relax and let us take control. They're fighting the whole while, trying to stay above water. You know what I do? I push them up. Why? Because they don't know it, but they need that. They need to go all the way in the tomb. I'm new there.
Lord have mercy. That's why I look different. You have to look different. I'm trying to stop you. When you go under, you're supposed to look different when you come up. There's a lot of symbolism going on there. But what people do now, they let their head cover, and they just do a whole lot of things. But back in the day, some of them came just like this to be baptized. Y'all don't remember that. They came just like this. They didn't have no special garments. They had their hairs done, and back then they straightened their hair. They straighten their hair. They didn't cover their hair up. And they sure look different when they take it. The Lord is going to make you act different. It's all right to look different. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody say, look now and see what the Lord has done. Brothers, are mighty, long way. Amen, amen, amen. We will extend the